Bible, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 tonight and look over here for a little while. Ephesians chapter 3. We're looking at just a few things about prayer, and one of the things that we've tried to drive home the last couple of times that we've looked at these scriptures is the idea of being specific in our prayers, being specific. And I don't want to make y'all sweat, but we're going to be doing something different tonight as we pray, all right? Say, what are we going to do? Well, already I'm getting looks of concern. That's good. All right. Now, you ladies, you don't have to worry about doing anything different necessarily tonight. Now, tomorrow, well, we won't be here tomorrow, but, you know, next time we get together, we may decide to do something. I've got several things. It's amazing. I've been at the prayer camp this week with Brother Hivner. It's in the home in it, Oldenburg. I had to stop and think about that for a minute. And really beautiful area. If I were to be abducted and taken there and just sat out, you know, out of a helicopter at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up, I would think I was in East Tennessee. All right? I think I'd have died and had gone to Tennessee, or I was abducted and went to the planet Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of how it looks. And spending some time there with three sessions of prayer in the morning, the afternoon, at night, and then as you walk the trails, you go from cabin to cabin. Sometimes we'll drink a cup of coffee and talk about, you know, a Bible verse. Other times we, you know, it'll be prayer for the next 20 or 30 minutes. It just depends on, you know, what's going on there. And Brother Shabdu, I think you've enjoyed yourself as much as anybody I have. It's been really good. And as I've been just trying to participate there and pour out my own needs before the Lord, it's amazing. I've had a few ideas that I've had people talk about, and then as I'm praying myself or somebody else is talking, I'm writing down things that are beneficial. So sometimes when other folks are praying, I'm busy writing, man, because if I don't write it down, I wrote some good stuff down to preach here like last Sunday night, and I wrote them down. I was going to write them down when I was in service Friday night at Brother Gravely, or with Brother Gravely preaching, Brother Hatley's. And I'm not going to write them down. I'm going to listen to the preaching. I should have stopped and wrote them down. Couldn't tell you, Brother Eric, what crossed my mind. Something biblical crossed my mind, but that's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. I can't help you with anything else. It took wings and it flew away. And you young folks who just kind of laugh at that, just wait. Your day is coming. And if you have a good memory, I would encourage you to use it for the Lord. Write down some things as well. But I said I'd like to say this. I want to look tonight at being specific. Specificity, if you will, in our prayers. We've talked already about the nature of prayer. We said this at the very beginning, that prayer indicates a relationship. Now, just because somebody prays does not mean they have a relationship with God, but having a relationship with God indicates that you're going to communicate. If you're married, you're going to communicate. Okay? Okay. I've heard people say, well, you know, my wife and I never argue. I'll tell you why you never argue. You don't talk to each other. I mean, and we chuckle a little bit because, you know, we know that's funny. And in one sense, but we know for a fact that if people don't communicate, not a whole lot to argue about. You know, if somebody comments about, you know, dirty clothes being in the floor, that will start a communicative argument there. But if you and I don't communicate, it's really odd that, you know, folks would be married or be in some type of, you know, friendship, relationship, be involved in business of some sort, and there be no communication. One of the greatest things that we need in our world today, in churches, in families, businesses, friendships, we need communication. We've got to communicate. And I could spend a lot of time talking about that, but what I want to just mention tonight as I'm thinking where we've been, prayer indicates a relationship. And that obviously means that there's going to be some communication. Prayer indicates a need. There is a need that is going to be offered to God when we pray. Again, prayer is not simply asking and receiving. That's not the purpose of it. You go back and look in the Old Testament, there are times when the prayers are just simply being poured out because a person's heart is full. They're wanting to just pour out their emotions to God. Prayer does indicate need. Prayer does indicate receiving. I mean, obviously, there is a sense in which, you know, God is the one who's going to do things about these prayer requests, and there's no way that we can have anything unless God do it. And then we said this, that prayer involves thanksgiving. We don't want to be those people who get but are ungrateful. We are so against the entitlement generation, the entitlement mentality, that because I am alive, thou owest me, you know, lay it in both palms. We're absolutely against that. We still believe that outside of some type of physical condition or hindrance, that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. I'm a full believer in that. Amen. Man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Well, here's the issue. We are so against that mindset of entitlement. How many times have we been guilty of that ourselves, getting a request answered from God, and yet we forget to return heartfelt thanks to the Lord for Him doing something? Or if we've done it like, well, Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. I know I've been praying it for 5 years, but thanks so much for answering it. I really appreciate that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a prayer that is offered for any length of time that's answered ought to be met with some thanksgiving that is somewhat comparable, okay? We recognize our anniversaries. We recognize important dates in our lives. Why in the world would we not commemorate the Lord saving somebody we've prayed for, or answering a prayer of healing we've prayed for, or providing for a huge financial need? And I'm thinking of times in my life, man, I wish I would have written that date down and when this particular prayer was answered, simply because I could remember that on a, you know, yearly basis and just say, thank the Lord. But prayer ought to involve thanksgiving. And we looked at that. We looked at how Paul prayed with thanksgiving and how he gave thanks to God for the people for whom he prayed. And there, I think we looked at about 8 or 9 of those verses. But then we said this, and this is where I want to come to tonight, is we began to look at Paul prayed for things specific. He had specific requests. Specifically, Paul prayed for people. He prayed for people. And when he prayed for people, I'm just going to give you just one. He mentions how he had prayed for the folks in Rome, even though they had not seen him, that he would have a prosperous journey to come by. He lifted them up in prayer. Now, does that mean that he prayed for every single need there? Exactly. How did he pray? The Bible doesn't tell us. But you and I can see that if we pray for a specific people, there are probably going to be some things we're going to pray for. If it's people we've never met, we're going to pray that they would grow spiritually. We're going to pray that they hear the Word of God. We're going to pray for them to be able to understand the preaching that they hear. We're going to pray for those who minister among them. So if we're praying for a specific church on the mission field, we're really praying for that missionary as well, being able to minister to those folks. So if we're praying for the church in Ghana, we're praying for Brother Ruckman and Miss Angie so that they can have the wisdom as people come to them with questions, as people come to them with concerns and for counsel and all those things. We're praying for those things. And I'm going to tell you, just because a person has Bible knowledge does not mean that automatically those answers are going to come in a quick, rapid recall fashion. There are times that I've been talking to somebody, and I'm telling you what, I couldn't tell you what book came after Genesis because my mind is so fogged over. And then there are other times I've talked to somebody, and brother, the scripture come one right after another, one right after another, one right after another, one. And it was just a supernatural, you know, God blessing that. And so we need to be praying for missionaries to have wisdom. There's one missionary we took some time to pray for, really, and felt impressed. The place where he ministers on the island of Haiti is actually it's actually a war zone. Since 2017, they've not had a stable government. Gangs have taken over the main port, Port-au-Prince. And being able to get anything in there, they haven't had gas for months and months and months. So it's nothing but a war zone. So to go into there I mean, it's an island where there are black folks. He would stick out like a, you know, a bright light in a dark room, literally, just because people would see he's there. They would know that he's a foreigner, and any type of work that he would try to do is going to be hindered just based on his nationality and his complexion combined with the state of the country. So he's concerned about getting materials to these pastors who are in the middle of church planning and trying to help keep churches together in basically a war zone. So he's got to have counsel and wisdom to be able to offer counsel to these men who are on the mission field when he's able to communicate with them. So, you know, praying for the missionary there. And as he's putting together lessons for the Bible Institute for those folks, he's got to have wisdom to do that. Because he's telling us, he's like, well, I've got to record these lessons. That means I've got to record the lessons on video. And then I've got to go back and edit the videos. Then I've got to type out the teacher's notes and the quizzes and all that. That's a lot of work to do. That is a huge amount of work to do. And it's greater than one man can do. But God can give supernatural ability to get some things done, and he also provides people. So it's like, Lord, would you please provide him somebody to edit the videos for him? Because if somebody could edit his videos, that would be just wonderful. Be able to put the maps up on the screen and be able to point to with the little arrows to the places on the map that are being discussed. So there are specific needs that we pray about in missionaries' lives. But I want to look at Ephesians chapter number 3, and I want to look at verse number 14 tonight. We're going to read verses 14 down through 21. I believe we commented on these verses the last time. So those of you all who have taken notes, you can tell us that we've covered these. We see that there are specific people that we pray for, but here's some things for a specific people. There are specific needs. Okay? For a specific people, in this case a specific church, there are specific needs. Now granted, what we're going to read tonight, we could pray for any church. We could pray for any group of believers. But this is what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Verse 14, Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Father, I do pray that you take these words tonight that we've read, seal them to our hearts. And when I ask that, Lord, just these truths that we've read about tonight, do that. And Lord, as we look at these verses, I want to pray these things specifically for our folks, that you would grant us these graces, the strength, the reality of the indwelling Christ, the understanding of the full dimensions of God's love, that those dimensions might be filled and that we might be found offering praise just as Paul did in the last couple of verses. So help us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're praying specifically. We're praying specifically. Now notice what's going on here. You've got a church that is full of people who have different spiritual levels, different educational backgrounds, different mental capabilities, let's say. You've got a whole lot of people. Churches, they're folks who are different. Folks are different. You and I are different. We're wired differently, all right? Our skill sets are different. We're all the same in the sense that we're made out of the same material. We're saved the same way. We have same access to God. But you and I are different. But notice that there is, in a sense, a one-size-fits-all prayer that can be prayed for a church regardless of where they're at. And if we consider this, Paul says he actually, in his prayer time, he would bow the knee to the Father, and the request was for spiritual strength and spiritual understanding. And as I step back and I look at the church at large, and I see places that I go to, I'm going to be honest with you, one of the greatest needs is spiritual understanding. I've I've talked to people, and you know, people who've been in church for years, and sometimes I'm amazed at how they have gone so far in wisdom and the amount of wisdom that God has given them to be able to share wisdom. And then there's other times I've talked to folks same age, and it seems like their progress has not been as far as other people's has been. Part of that's our fault because we don't read. Part of that's our fault because we don't ask God for understanding. But part of that could be because we've not prayed for a spiritual understanding. And as we look at this text, I'm seeing a prayer for spiritual strength, and I'm seeing a prayer that that spiritual strength will develop an understanding of the nature of the knowledge of Christ. Let's look here just for a second. Verse number 16, that He would grant you. God would grant you this. Now, I would think that God would want to give everybody this, but there are some folks who are too prideful. They're not going to get it. I've been in meetings before where somebody gets up and they start talking, and it's like, it's probably better that, you know, just because you can say something doesn't mean you need to. I've been in services before, not here, but in other places where people have given testimonies, and one person will stand up to testify, and it's like, oh dear Lord, there it went. It's gone. It's gone. They grieve the Holy Spirit of God by rambling on and just not being sensitive to the Spirit. There have been services where the Spirit was high, where I was not allowed to testify. And you know me, it's like I'm jumping in. I'm dropping the hat and I'm testifying. You know what I'm saying? And there have been times where the Lord's been like, no, you just be quiet. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is not say anything. But there are other times when your spiritual wisdom and testimony does need to come out. Now, as soon as I say that, folks are going to feel like, oh man, now he's asking for testimonies. Now he's telling me not to testify. Testify anyway. Testifying is like riding a bike. Back in my day, we didn't do helmets. We just did protect yourself the best that you can. Amen. Stupid's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And, you know, regardless of what Gillette says, it is a rite of passage and those type of things. Boys are going to be boys. And, you know, you're going to fight and, you know, fumble around and all that. You know, but, you know, it's just like riding a bike. Yeah, there might be times where you stand up. How many of you ever stood up to testify or you wanted to say something and your words were backwards and you couldn't talk right? And it's like there was a big ball of cotton in your mouth. Okay? Okay. Story of my life, it seems like there are times that well, what do you do? Well, I'm just not going to testify anymore. No, no. What do you do? Well, you keep the training wheels off the bike and you get back on and try to jump over those, you know, I was going to say cinder blocks, don't try that at home, but you're going to try to jump over those things again, okay? So spiritually speaking, go ahead and testify. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I saw where Miss Danielle, some of you all may have gotten the poem in your email or seen it on Facebook. Brother Mark Stroud said, and she wrote a poem based on this, and he said, if a drunkard walked into the church service tonight and started praising the Lord, it would be in order. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, it really doesn't mean that. Well, let me step back and you can exegete that and tell me what everything means. It would be in order for anybody to praise the Lord. And so I said all that to say this, don't be afraid to testify. The way that you grow is by having times of training. What happened, I've never been in the military. Brother Kevin, when you were in boot camp, they treated you wonderful and nice. They met all your needs. They painted your barracks the colors that you wanted. I mean, they held your hand the entire way, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I quit playing. No, I heard a man say this. Here's what they do. The drill instructors persecute the recruits. Your brother, you're persecuted for how many weeks? I mean, you're persecuted. They don't come in and treat you. Oh, we're just here to make sure. I mean, they sailor, that you know, that your mama's not here. You're gonna have to make your own bed type thing. You know, and it's not like they came along and helped you out. They persecuted you. Sometimes getting skinned up a little bit helps us to grow. Sometimes, and you've heard this before, that if you were to take a caterpillar that has transformed into a butterfly. And as they're trying to get out of the chrysalis, you know, they're trying to get out of that cocoon where they're at, that stage where they're trying to get out of that, if you were to take and open that up and let them out, what would happen to them? They die. They can't fly. Those muscles are exercised in them working their way out of that cocoon. And in thinking we're helping somebody, we're not helping somebody. So let's say that you testify and it's like, man, I just don't feel like I did something very well. You know what? You might not have, but don't let that defeat you. Your heart's in the right place. Sometimes our words don't come right. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you've had a long day. But testify anyway. I want to encourage you to do that. All right? That's not in my notes. I just wanted to be a blessing to you. So to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit, watch this, in the inner man. The first request is that God would strengthen His people inside. If you remember the passage in 1 John 3 that talks about the seed of that person remains in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. That's the inner man. That's the new man who has been born again by the grace of God. He can't sin. We want him to grow. We want him to be strengthened. And as Paul is praying, he's praying specifically for this church to grow, that that inner man would grow. Well, let me ask you, how's that inner man going to grow? It's not going to grow by watching Fox and CNN and listening to talk radio and watching the latest YouTube videos and trying to be a TikTok influencer and all the rest. It's not going to grow that way. I keep up with the news I watch, but I'm telling you, I'm depressed enough as it is. I just don't need to get a subscription to the a news thing, which I did back before Christmas. Caleb wanted it, so okay. But anyhow, I'm just confessing my faults before you, but it's the Daily Wire. Y'all pray for me. So, but I'm going to feed the inner man, and the inner man's going to grow not by what I watch on the television, but what I get from the Word of God. And so here's what's going to happen. As this prayer is prayed, then all of a sudden, I'm just going to use this for an example, Blaze is going to get an appetite for the Bible. Dylan is going to get an appetite to read the Word of God and to pray. That's how you're going to grow. And if we pray, so moms and dads, parents, grandparents, as you pray for your children, your grandchildren, pray these prayers for them. They're the generation that's going to have to take this thing over. And look, they ain't a whole lot to work with right now. There's got to be a time in which the inner man grows and they are able to take on a task of teaching or a task of leadership in the church, and they're going to have to be spiritually minded to do that. If somebody acts, in an unspiritual manner all the time, they can't be trusted with spiritual tasks and office-related type things. We have to have spiritually mature people. So he prays here for that strengthening in the inner man. Now notice verse number 17. This is interesting. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Whoa, time out, Paul. Didn't you tell the Colossians that there was this great mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's almost like he already lives on the inside. And now you're asking me or telling me you're praying for these people that Christ would dwell in their hearts. I thought he was already there. If you're saved, somebody lives on the inside of you, right? Spirit of God's on the inside. Oftentimes, Paul seems to use Christ and the Holy Spirit interchangeably, okay? But how many folks are saved and they give in to sin, give in to temptation? They have an omission. Sometimes it's not something that they commit, it's something that they omit. Can I ask you a question? How is that possible? Doesn't Christ live on the inside? Jesus lives on the inside. Here's the issue. Though Christ lives on the inside, the inner man, if you will, is not being fed, and the indwelling Christ is not the reality that he should be. Sometimes we don't remember that everywhere we go, we take Jesus with us. Every click of the mouse on the computer, every push the button on the phone, every conversation that we have, Christ is there. He is imminent in the sense that he is right at hand. You could reach out and touch him. He is there. So here's what Paul's praying for, that the indwelling Christ would become real. You would realize he's on the inside. There are times whenever it's not emotion. Sometimes that there are emotions. Don't get me wrong. But there are times whenever you feel down, but somebody begins to sing a song, and then all of a sudden on the inside, it's like there's somebody on the inside trying to break out. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What is that? That's the Lord bearing witness with the truth of the preaching that you're hearing, the testimony that you're hearing, the song that you're hearing, that is right. There's something bearing witness there. So Paul's praying for this specifically, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. So we need to pray for one another specifically, that each member would be strengthened. Here's what I'd like y'all to do, seriously. For the next week or so, let's covenant together to bring this request before God, that our church people, our members, our church family would be strengthened with might by their spirit of the inner man. If we're praying for one another like that, temptation's going to be easily overcome. Child-parent relationships can really be good. Amen. Young folks, there's nothing spiritual about talking back to your parents. Well, we'll take that. There's nothing godly about it. There is a spirit involved. It's a spirit of rebellion, okay? But there's nothing godly about that. If we would be strengthened with might by our spirit in the inner man, there would be better communication between husband and wife. Be better communication between parent and child. Better communication between grandparent and grandchild. Better communication between church member and church member. You see that? There'd be better communication. But let's pray these things. Let's pray these things. Let's pray that Christ would be a reality on the inside. And if we pray that Christ is reality on the inside, perhaps some people who are dealing with assurance will get assurance. Perhaps the Lord will, in response to the prayers of God's people, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If he's already there, the only way that can be interpreted is that there is a reality of his presence. And as people are reading the book of 1 John, hereby we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It could be that the Spirit of God blows on that verse. Somebody realizes, oh my goodness, that is true. I love the church. I don't want to be anywhere else. If I had a chance to go to a country music concert and hear Barf Brooks sing, or I could come to the church and I could get in there with God's people, I don't even have to flip a coin and wonder what I'm going to do. I'm going to be there with God's people. It could be something that would take the Spirit of God, would take the Word of God and make that real to somebody's heart. And then we come down to verse number 18. We see that there is a prayer for spiritual spiritual strength there. And then we're looking for spiritual understanding. Notice in verse number 18, after he says that, you know, you being rooted and grounded in love, which comes as part of that indwelling Christ. Now there's a semicolon there. But he said, may be able to comprehend. You know why I'm such a slow reader? Brother Eric, you know why I'm a slow reader? I have a lot of trouble with reading comprehension. That's why I've got to read things three, sometimes four times to get them. I read a whole page. What in the world? I mean, I was on the planet Pluton. I mean, I have no idea where I was at, what I was doing. I got to go back and read it again. And I get about halfway through and I zone out. And it's like, man, I got to get... But when you comprehend something, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That you and I would be able to comprehend with all saints. So it's almost like there's no big I's and little U's. It's almost as if everybody, like the ground's level. Like this is open to everybody. This is open to somebody Dylan and Blaze's age, to somebody Charity's age, all the way up to somebody who's in their 90s, in their hundreds. It's open. It's open. Notice this. Notice the spiritual dimensions here. May be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth that's going down, the height that's going up, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now watch this. We've got four dimensions. So if we have a point here, we've got the breadth, how wide something is, the length, how long it is, and from that point downward is the depth, that point upward is the height. Notice what it says here. You've got a, you know, it's not just where you're taking length, width, and height, and you're getting the square footage, the area of the whole thing, okay? The cubic dimensions, I should say, since we've got three dimensions there, sorry. Oh, you math folks, I know I might have a math person in here kind of get me after church. You won't get me on that one now. Two dimensions is area, square footage. Three dimensions, we're talking cubic feet here, cubic dimensions. But watch this. When you add that other dimension from a starting point and you add the height to the depth, even though it is really, in one way, only three dimensions, the understanding here is that we're going from three to four. It's beyond our comprehension, physically speaking. But the prayer is for that we would, what? Comprehend that. And if you'll look in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, watch this, that you might be filled. Now it's interesting. If I've got a cup, that cup, even if it's round, I take the circumference, C equals pi D, and then I can get the area 2 pi R. We're going to have a math test tonight, okay? And I can multiply that cylinder, find out what the area is. So the area is, okay, you ready? 2 pi R, and even if it doesn't flare out, you're okay. We don't have to get a calculus involved here. Sarah's like, oh, Dad, please, just stop. Just stop. Algebra's not your friend. I know it's Arabic. It's not your friend. I get it. But you take that and you multiply it by the height of the cup, you can get the cubic volume, the volume there of a cylinder. Now, why is that important? Well, let's look here for a second. That you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, verse 19, that you might be filled. Filled. What are you going to fill? You're going to fill something that's going to hold something. And watch this. I've got a length and a breadth and a depth and the height of the love of Christ. And I can be filled with that once I comprehend what that is. I can actually be filled with that. Now, that's not something you can go put on a whiteboard and write an equation out for. But because you've got dimensions, Brother Eric, you can, ostensibly, you can fill that up. God wants us to be filled. He wants us to understand that. And that same amount of love, God wants us to be filled with that. We can honestly use a little love. We could use a little love. You ready? We could use some love. Folks who haven't been to church since COVID, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to upset people, and people are going to listen to this. And I know I've always got to, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's. I know we got folks providentially hindered, all those things. But I'm going to tell you, for folks who are members of this church and they've not been here, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. They do not love the church. In the words of missionary Spencer Smith, not sorry. I love Jesus, but I just don't feel like coming to church. I'm afraid of coming to church. You don't love the Lord because you don't honor Him above your fear of getting sick. And I'm not trying to make light of that. I mean, you get sick and you pass on. Where are you going? Going to heaven. Did I miss something? There's no go-between. There's no stepping off stage. There's no purgatory. It's not like you're going to have to camp out for a while. Nobody wants to go and be sick. Nobody wants that. But here's the thing. We live in this fear of just you know, what's going to happen. And there are folks who haven't been to the church in years, a couple of years, like, I love Jesus. No, you don't. You don't love Him. You do not love Him. You got a husband, you got a wife, and you won't come home to that person. Watch me. You don't love that person. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Again, not sorry, because it's true. It's true. And when I say we could all use a little love, we in this building, we could use some being loved on by people from outside. It'd be nice to be loved on, would it not? For people who say they love the church to come here and to be here. We'd love to see that. We'd love to see people grow because they have fallen in love with the Lord. We ought to pray for one another. You know, Miss Dixie, Miss Sarah, pray for the young ladies in the class there, their own class. They'd fall in love with the Lord. For men in the church who have wayward children, we do pray. Men and ladies here have the children. You know, in the men's room up here, the men's prayer time, we'll pray and ask God to touch each specific thing, and, you know, that God would just do a work and you know, labor together in prayer for those things. And finally, Paul just says, you know, now to him that's able, can God do these things? Can God fill these things? I mean, you're looking at an incomprehensible dimension that we can comprehend, and we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And you're thinking, man, that is just absolutely humanly impossible. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you can ask it or think it, God can do far beyond your ability to name something that God could do. What God's ability to do, what can God do? I mean, God could pick up this building in one piece, move it to the other side of the world in one piece with us in it, and everything, and we could be incognito, under the radar. We could go out and preach and witness regardless of where we're at, no visas, none of that. I mean, could God do that? Well, of course he can. You know what God's done, though? He's made people who labor in certain areas of the world, in the Middle East and in Asia, he's made them virtually invisible. When they've crossed borders and put gospel literature into people's hands, he's made them invisible. He's made it to where when people are trying to track them out, it's almost like God did just in the days of Christ, whenever the Lord, you know, passed, you know, went through the crowd and so passed by. One preacher down south, it was almost as if God just, you know, they're coming up to get Jesus, and God puts them in a freeze frame, and they're just stopped right like that, and Jesus just walks through the midst of them. Say, I don't believe that. Well, come up with a better suggestion, and I'll cheer yours on, amen. God can do those things. God's able to do it. So tonight, as we've talked about maybe some of the mechanics and the characteristics of prayer, I wanted to look tonight specifically at the types of needs we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for needs. We could talk about what Brother Ballou did here, you know, years ago when he talked about praying for missionaries, you know, spiritually, financially, emotionally, domestically, all those things that we talked about. How that we need to go before God asking the Lord to take care of those needs. And honestly, those are things that the devil knows that he can attack the missionaries or whoever there. And if we are in the armor of God, in the prayer closet, doing what God wants us to do, we can intercede on behalf and tear down all kinds of framework that the devil has built up and instigated to try to bring down the work of God in other places. You and I are able to do that. You and I are able to do that. I mean, you know, the power we have, I think the Bible tells us, is mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I mean, my goodness, I mean, there's something there that if God can tear down those imaginations that are in men's minds, he can also take down all that framework that the devil's put up for them to take and run and work with. We have the ability to stop the work of the devil on the other side of the world by interceding for God's people right here on this side of the world. We have that ability. We have that ability. So tonight, that's what I want us to do, is I want us to pray specifically for some things tonight. I want us to pray for those. Amen. So does anybody have anything you'd like to just, you know, maybe add to that tonight, or anything that you'd like to mention in regard to that, anything at all? Nothing? All right. Amen. Well, here's what I want to do tonight. We're going to stop. We're going to take some prayer requests. I know we've got some folks who are sick, and do that tonight. But we're going to change things up.